You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Finally Friday. With Dave and DeGenovic.
Welcome into the show, Dave Noriega. No Debbie DeGenovic today. Fortunately, I have Mara Carabello with the Exoro Group and KSL at Night filling in.
So excited to be here on a rainy day.
It is a rainy day. And this happens, I get it, and it's snowing in the mountains. There's celebration. It was also 81 degrees like 5 minutes ago.
It's true. Okay, I'm gonna bring you down. I love rainy days.
No, you
don't. We
don't
have that many of them. I mean, if I were in Seattle, I wouldn't be saying this. But the smell and the springiness of it, it's like a couple of days and then we're back into the 70s.
Your obsession with water is so weird.
It's sad, isn't it?
You make it your career. You make it your hobby. Everything to do with water.
I have no defense.
No defense. It's 9:07. It's time for the launch.
Sequence engaged.
The launch is brought to you by Master Electrical Services, home of the upfront pricing guarantee. It's typically the three things that Debbie wants you to know, but today only, it's the three things that Mara wants you to know.
Countdown three.
More arrests overnight at several college campuses across the country because of protests over the Israel-Hamas war. Rubber bullets being shot into the crowd. USC just announced, the University of Southern California, announced yesterday they're getting rid of their graduation ceremony next month. This isn't even something that's happening tomorrow, but it's next month over safety concerns.
I know. It's intense right now. I heard an interview this morning about a woman who was in protest during the 60s, and you know, it feels a little bit like that.
It has that vibe, doesn't it?
Countdown to
looking into the conversation about student loan forgiveness. Why? Why does this keep bubbling up? Well, there must be an election close. Number one, I'm a little bit of a cynic of when these things pop up. But President Biden has a latest plan to get rid of billions of dollars worth of student loan forgiveness. But the Deseret News believes, they wrote this article, that they believe that this could tank his reelection plans. Instead of helping them, that it could actually hurt.
Yeah, the polling is showing nationally, though, in states that he needs it. It's super popular because you want to know why? He is targeting the younger vote, and I think that's what he's relying on.
Launch countdown one.
Let's talk about the food on your child's lunch tray. There's going to be some changes. Now, if your kids are getting excited right now, thinking, yes, finally, no more weird off-brand baked Cheetos. No. Prepare yourself for more off-brand weird sodium-free, low-flavored chocolate milk.
I know. So I'm kind of excited about this, but then is it going to be successful at all? Is the question parents have on their minds today.
Dave and DeGenovic.
The launch.
Commence.
So the hope, the plan, the dream is the USDA announced that they want to change up some school meals. They want to make them healthier. The new rules, there's a fair amount. Basically lower sugar, lower some sodium. Ruins chocolate milk.
What's this change, Jim?
Sugar and salt. And if you look at the current menus, the average across the country, added sugars provide about 17% of the calories in school breakfast and 11% in school lunches. That's the average, according to a report from 2022. Federal dietary guidelines recommend that no more than 10% of daily calories come from added sugar. So kids at breakfast, if they eat at the cafeteria, are getting about twice as much sugar as they need in any given day. And that's a problem. So, yes, guidelines have been drawn up to try to reduce the amount of sugar and salt in school meals. The Sugar Association, which is a trade group, supported limiting added sugar in a weekly menu. But it also says that if you start applying some of these limits, then artificial sweeteners might be added into some of these foods. That could have their own health ramifications.
That was ABC News. Jim Ryan spoke with Amanda Dixon this morning. And part of the reason these changes are being made is because oftentimes high sugar foods, high sodium foods, processed foods, desserts lead to obesity. Surprise, surprise, surprising nobody. Type 2 diabetes, tooth decay, and heart disease. So, Mara, I think it comes from a good place. We want to keep kids healthy.
Right.
Here's my concern.
Right.
Every parent in history knows that trying to get kids to eat healthy is incredibly difficult.
Yeah, so I'm going to say my response is what came first, the chicken or the egg, right? So did kids hate healthy food before we started offering them unhealthy food, right? Like you and I have both gone through healthy eating, and when you first go off of the junk food, when
yes.
you first go off of the hyper taste, hyper sugars, hyper flavor, and you move to, oh, I don't know, food, and you know, like real food, at first it's a taste change, but then you start craving the nutrients and the good stuff, and you don't find yourself having a tooth for it as much. So I would say in America, one thing I think we've done wrong is that we think there are kid foods and grown-up foods. And we give kids...
Oh, there's a kid's menu.
There's always a kid's menu. And what's on the kid's menu? It's all yummy stuff. So Dave, you and I both, if we could eat the yummy stuff maybe without any consequence, but why don't we think there are health consequences for kids? So I say, yeah, we're going to have to change their palate a little, but that is just a minimum thing to do for their lifelong health.
I totally agree. We need to eat healthier food.
Okay.
And as you said, everyone's been through that. You're like, you know what? I don't like broccoli, but I feel amazing after I eat broccoli and some lean chicken. Now, if you offer me broccoli and lean chicken or fried stuff with cheese,
right?
Yeah, I'm going to choose the fried stuff with cheese. I totally agree with you. But there's a realism that I have and I've experienced.
Right.
And we'll continue this conversation because I want to talk about the amount of food waste that happens. I'm going to save that for the next segment.
Okay.
But kids aren't getting obese on school lunch.
Right.
So this idea that we're going to teach them and we're going to change habits for the 180 meals we have them during a year, that's how many school lunches they get, 180.
Right.
They're eating three meals a day.
Yes.
Mostly they're eating at home. I mean, we're a fraction of the cause. The thought that we can change their eating habits in those 180 meals, I think is naive.
So here's what I'm going to say to you, Dave. A lot of kids don't have healthy studying habits that are reinforced by their parents at home. Should we not teach good studying habits to kids during school? Should we not teach good principles and habits and life lessons in school just because it may not be reinforced someplace else? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say our system should give the kids the tools they need to live their best, healthiest life.
I'm going to give you an example of why I totally agree with you in principle. I mean, Mara, I am so with you
right.
in principle. There is just too much life experience that has jaded me over the years where I think this is the problem.
Right.
We have parents that have a 30,000-foot view that want to do what's right, and I've got a hungry kid in third grade that just dumped his entire tray of healthy food because he doesn't eat it. He doesn't like it. Let's talk about food waste. You're not going to believe the amount of food waste that is happening in American schools when we come back.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring. And right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery. Sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Let's talk student lunches. Because remember, Michelle Obama, this was her thing.
It was her thing.
She was obsessed with it.
Yeah, she had a garden at the White House. It was her thing.
I love it. She wanted kids eating healthy. Childhood obesity is a real thing, and I applaud her. Miss Obama, well done.
You know what?
But the wrong place to try to tackle this on the school lunch level.
So where's the right place? I mean, the next place is in the home.
Oh, there we go.
Dave, it's not happening.
You're so right, too.
It's not happening there.
But why?
Why isn't it happening? Because when they went to school, they didn't have an example of healthy food. I mean, like, I always think presenting healthy options is... Kids are smart. I mean, there are studies that show that if kids know how to eat better, because I agree, some of it is a knowledge thing. I didn't know my choices. I wasn't offered them. When anybody goes through a journey of being healthier, sometimes it's a matter of education. Kids are really powerful persuaders in their household, I think. And I think if a kid learned to like something at lunch and came home and said, "Hey, Mom, let's eat this instead." I mean, you know, again, I come back to the premise of, well, my kid won't eat that. They'll only eat this. Well, when are you giving your 7-year-old a choice on anything? I mean, I don't ask them about other expenses in the household. I don't give them. I mean, it's a slight dictatorship, right? Like, I remember when you did this, too. When your kids were little, you gave them, they could wear whatever they wanted out of the two choices I gave them, right?
We're going to match. You can choose of the matching outfits.
Exactly.
Go ahead, choose your socks between this matching pair or that matching
total
pair.
Total independence within my total dictatorship.
Total independence.
And so I love the notion of teaching them healthy eating at school.
30 million lunches are served every single day
in
America. That is a huge amount. And these changes, the USDA has announced the changes. And this is coming in the schools. I'm not going to bore you with... how many grams of sugar per ounce of yogurt? You'll forget that. But basically, they're reducing sugar, they're reducing sodium, and they're reducing fat in milk.
Okay.
Those are the big goals. Here's the problem I have. My wife has worked for a number of years in elementary schools, has worked specifically in the lunch lines. You know, she's helped out in the lunchroom for a number of years. She said she would have kids come out with a completely healthy tray of food, an apple, a banana, some green beans, and they basically redirect completely from out to the garbage can where they dump it, and they go out to recess because they are so excited about recess. Mm-hmm. So they had to start putting somebody in front of the garbage can saying, no, you have to sit down first. And you have to sit down for at least 10 minutes. And the kids would sit there and they would talk and they would visit and they would, you know, eat two bites of this and one bite of that, and then they would throw it away.
Yeah.
Why are kids throwing away this food? Because this is not good food for the kids. This is not the food that they want to eat.
Good.
Even though they are healthy options. There was a salad bar that was out there. I get it. But this is where I think reality, you know, the rubber hits the road. There's no way you're going to start your breakfast off with Cap'n Crunch and Crunch Berries. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way you're eating Cap'n Crunch with Crunch Berries on a Saturday and a Sunday. And then Monday you come in and there's Rice Chex.
Right.
They will never eat the Rice Chex, no matter how healthy these are, what a better option it is. They just won't eat it.
So here's my thing. They'll eat it if they're hungry. And if they toss it, and I'm ignoring the food waste problem for now because you're right. That's a whole topic that we need to tackle. But let's call that intermittent fasting for a kid. You know, his little metabolism is going to be going fast, looking for food, and he'll be hungry for dinner. And so, yeah, I guess I am saying I still don't find that. Now, the other premise that's interesting, I think I just realized both you and I took, healthy food is not tasty food. So I agree with the kid that thought that those steamed green beans that were steamed for, I don't know, a day and a half and then put on the plate. I agree with him. That should be tossed. So I think along the way, there are more tasty healthy foods than less tasty healthy foods, right? And so, yes, I think we should be looking at kids' palates and saying, I think we can achieve health and taste.
At some point, I think we have to look at what is really happening. And this is why I loved this research that was done by the US EPA, Kroger. They teamed together. They went to 9 different states, 46 schools. So this was not a small investigation, I will call it. And they looked at how much food was being wasted. Let me break it down. Per student, per year, they would throw away over 40 pounds of food.
Oh, wow.
Now imagine a plate of food, a tray, probably only has somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 ounces of actual food on a tray. 40 pounds of it, that is 80 full trays of food that is being thrown away every year. So we can bemoan the fact, and we can look at the 530 million pounds of food every year that is thrown away. 530, half a billion pounds of food that's being thrown away. And we can bemoan and we can say, we just got to teach these kids. We got to stick with it. But I look at it and I think, these kids are hungry. Do I care? And there are options out there where they have potato chips, but they don't have Doritos, nacho cheese flavor that they're used to eating. They've got the baked low-sodium Dorito knockoff. Mm-hmm. And then they take 2 bites of those, and they're like, these don't taste like what I'm used to. So I don't like them. I'm going to throw them away. I'll eat 3 chips, and then I throw them away. And that is so often what is happening. We're trying to craft and make a little bit healthier version. And then we have candy machines in our schools as well.
Right.
What kids aren't eating it. So we can bemoan the fact and we can want to teach them. At some point, Maura, I just want to say, just eat something. I don't care what the calories in, calories out. As long as you have some calorie to run your system, I'm in.
So I'm going to question some things about the study. Were all 46 of those schools serving healthy lunches? And did they compare that to 46 schools that weren't serving? Do we know that kids, to your recess answer, are you eating all of your pizza and then going to recess and you're just not eating all of your, you know, carrots? I think getting kids to eat in general is its own issue.
Yes.
And so I'm not sure I'm persuaded that they were eating it all when it was unhealthy food and not eating in it when it was healthy food. But so I'd want to look at the study. But here's something you keep keying on that I'm so agreeing with you on. We've got to make it, if it's not going to taste better, because again, fatty foods taste better. We've got to make it cool to be a healthy eater. You're right. We can't just hand you food you don't want. We have to talk about your social structure and maybe a little bit of peer pressure.
And it's so difficult because the unhealthy foods are, how would you say, genetically modified to make taste us, better.
Exactly.
To be more addictive, to make you crave it more. It has more salt and sugar and sweetener. It has all of this stuff. It's manufactured. It makes it unhealthy. I get it. But there's no yeah. doubting, it tastes better.
It tastes better.
It's why when you go to a restaurant, you're like, this food is so much better than what I make. I remember a celebrity chef said, you would be offended if you knew how much butter we just put in that.
Well, I know because I can't put my rings on the next day.
You
right?
can't put your rings on. You're like, the edema has overtaken my body. I can't even wear a necklace. You're like, that's not a necklace. That's a belt. I can't do it. Great conversation, but those changes are coming whether you agree with them or not. Up next, Representative John Curtis' seat in Congress is up for grabs this election cycle. Super crowded field. We'll talk to one of those candidates. The only woman running, actually, joins us in studio. Let's talk to Catherine Dolan.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring. And right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
Convention Day is coming up tomorrow. Believe it or not, it is here.
The end of the convention season. We've been through all the county races, but now the big boys here, the state convention for both the Republicans and the Democrats. Boy, the Republicans have a lot going on. It starts at 8 in the blessed AM and will probably be dark when those fine folks leave.
So if you were wondering if you want to be a delegate, just be prepared, folks. Like, there's you're not being worked every day, but tomorrow you're earning every dollar of the $0 that you're getting paid.
It's so true.
Every single dollar.
Earning all of that non-money. In fact, you're paying to be there.
That's true.
So, like, thank you.
No gas reimbursement for sure. Well, one of the races that we want to focus on is CD3, Congressional District 3. This is John Curtis's seat. John Curtis decided not to run for another term in the House. He is running for Senate. So this is an open seat. There's roughly 10 people that are running in this race. And you have two ways. You can either gather signatures or you can win at convention if you want to end up on the primary ballot. So bringing on one of those candidates right now, Catherine Dolan, is joining us. Thank you.
Good morning.
First time candidate.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. How has it? I want to start with that first time candidate. Now, if you look at your background, you have been a Senate staffer, notably for Bob Bennett, a Utah favorite, also another Republican from Oregon. You've done some lobbying. So you have a lot of history in the political ecosystem, especially the federal system.
That's right.
So you know the office and the duty. We'll get to that in a minute. But this is your first time on the candidate side. What is that experience like?
You know, it is. I've never been a candidate, like you said. It is totally. It's a lot, right? It's something that I had no idea what I was getting into when I did this. I'm really glad I made that leap. Sometimes it's better if you don't know.
Right.
But we need people who have a fresh perspective in these races. And that voice in the conversation is really an important voice. I'm grateful that I have been able to bring an outside perspective. It represents a lot of the people in the 3rd District and what they're worried about.
As we were learning more about you, doing our research, one of the things that, and stick with me, it'll come around to a real question, but one of the things I got a chuckle out of was in your hobbies, it said budgeting. I chuckled about it because I'm like, wait a second. I love this idea. In fact, every congressional candidate should have a hobby of budgeting because that is one area that we are a disaster in federally.
Absolutely. You know, when I go to Smith's with my kids, we are constantly adding up in our heads what the grocery bill is, right? Like, this is a part of real life for Utah families. And in Congress, they don't pay the bills. They're not balancing their budget. And that's really what's brought us to this point where we have $34.5 trillion in debt. They're not paying attention. They're not doing the work to fix that.
So there are 10 candidates in this race, a Republican.
Yes,
candidates.
One dropped out. So there's just 9.
Okay,
now.
So easy peasy,
right.
Then. And you're talking to a few thousand delegates. How do you go about having these conversations and differentiating yourself? Now, one differentiating that I'm just going to give an applause line to, you're the only woman.
That's
and
right.
We do know we need more female representation from Utah. So how do you start a conversation to try and persuade at least 40% of delegates to vote for you?
That's right. You know, it's wonderful. We have they're elected on March 5th, so it's a quick
short
it's
timeline.
A sprint, right? But we've done a lot of cottage meetings, a lot of virtual town halls, and lots of phone calls, just reaching out to folks, letting them know why I'm running, my background, and also asking what their concerns are. Most of the delegates, they're the people that are willing to spend that whole day at the convention in April. Luckily, it's not going to be too sunny, not a yard work day, but they're curious. They have issues they're really concerned about. So most of them, you know, want to know, where are you standing on these issues? How are you going to be different than the other folks? And so engaging with them is interesting and fun. They're definitely engaged for the most part.
One thing I've done this political season is I've asked every candidate, especially because if you get the Republican nomination, the chances you're going to win are extremely likely.
That's
so
right.
And I'm hearing a lot of the same consistent messages. But if you go back to Washington, you're not going to get anything past just being partisan, just red meat kind of topics. And like, we're going to lock down the border and we're going to, we're going to stop the spending because everyone says this, gets elected, and then nothing happens because you have to bring over the other side.
Yeah.
Is there a topic? Is there something? Is there a thing that you think you could reach across the aisle specifically and say, I think Democrats will join me on this one topic and we can get some movement?
Yeah, you know, the budget and our spending, we have deficit spending, so I like to call that credit card spending, that yep. the deficit is adding to our debt each year. And there are a lot of people on both sides of the aisle who would like to see those deficit numbers come down. Really, where the question is and where the fighting starts is on what? What are we going to cut? But we've got to start looking. We're spending so much time concentrating on that 20%, 15 to 20% where we can't agree. We've got to look where we can. You know, we're spending so much, we've got to tighten our belts everywhere in the government. But we need a representative who's willing to say, hey, I want more people to join. Let's do what we can to get more. Let's find that 80% where we can get a wide range of support. Because there are a lot of people in this country, and certainly in Utah, who are very concerned about government spending. That is definitely something that can go across the aisle. And it's just a matter of being willing to do the work and look for those people.
Okay, so one quick question. As you said, delegates are high information voters.
Yes.
What's one issue that is maybe important but boring? Like, what should we be paying more attention to?
Important but boring. Well, a lot of people think the budget's really, really boring, yeah, but that's gotten a lot of attention right now. Also, let's see, important but boring. I think, you know, immigration's not boring. Everyone's talking about immigration. A lot of people are talking about inaction in Congress and how we're going to get past this. You know, what's happened in the Republican caucus and in during this Congress. We, you know, we're in charge and we aren't getting stuff done, right? So I'd say that's a big topic of conversation among the delegates.
Well, your day's going to be long tomorrow. We wish you luck. Thank you for taking the time and joining us. Catherine Dolan, who is running in the 3rd District, looking to get the nomination or convention nomination.
That's right.
Did you gather signatures?
You know, I started, again, I'm a first-time candidate, and I clicked both boxes. You can gather signatures or go convention only, and I started gathering signatures. It became to the point where we realized it is not really possible to get 7,000 registered Republican signatures with just volunteers when you are not a longtime politician. So then we pivoted over. It's actually quite expensive to pay a signature gatherer.
Yes.
We looked into that, worked on that some side, but what it came down to is I'm not willing to spend a small fortune to become a member of Congress. I am a fiscal conservative. And so now I am 100% convention only and looking to those delegates.
Yeah, to gather signatures, you need at least 7,000, I believe.
That's correct.
The number. 7,000.
Registered Republicans in the district.
And there's a lot that have to hire. And most people, I would say, on some level, hire it out and
have to
collect those signatures. So it can be thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. So thank you. We appreciate it. Good luck. It's obviously something we'll be following closely.
Yeah.
And best of luck.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes,
Catherine Dolan, website? Do you have a website?
Yes, it's Catherine and then the number 4utah.com.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring. And right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
I'm Jeff Kaplan from KSL News Radio. You want to receive the latest news, traffic, and weather all in one place? All you have to do is subscribe to the KSL text line. Text the word NEWS to 57500 and you'll get the latest news, traffic, and weather updates. Sometimes before we get them on the air. I'll catch you on the radio weekday afternoons on KSL News Radio.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson, Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic. Utah's top political story. Special coverage with Dave and Dejanovic.
Conventions. Conventions, conventions. It's going to be a big weekend, a long weekend for politics here in Utah. We're getting the scoop on what you can expect tomorrow as the Republican and Democratic conventions take place. We're going to talk to both the Republican and Democratic Party chairs, starting off with Robert Axum. But Robert, before we get to you, I want to introduce Mara Carabello with the Exoro Group, with KSL at Night, who's filling in for Debbie Dujanovic. And it's a long day, but it's an incredibly important day for Utah
politics. So excited about this segment. And yeah, it's the Super Bowl of delegates, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is such a meaningful day because Utah has kept the caucus convention system strong. And so there's a chance that several of these races are decided for us. Why is that important? Because conventions and primaries are where the competition is. General elections in Utah are really not the highest point. It's right now, or are we going to a primary? So it's exciting.
Robert, thanks for joining us. Utah Republican Party Chair, thanks for joining us. Are you ready?
Yeah, always good to be with you guys.
Excited that the weather's going to be bad and people are not going to be working in in their yards?
Hey, it's a great place then to be as an alternative, right? Come on down as a delegate and participate in the process.
So what are your hottest races tomorrow? I know you start at 8 in the morning and have a couple of hours of local House and Senate races, and then you shift into the afternoon. What are the hot races you're anticipating?
Yeah, I mean, the big hot races are, of course, whenever you have an open seat. That only happens every handful of years on congressional seats and whatnot. So you have the United States Senate seat. That's, of course, one that people are paying a lot of attention to. And then in Congressional District 3, where currently John Curtis serves, since he's vacating that seat to run for the Senate, that too is an open seat. So those are two that are very hotly contested and have a lot of candidates that are vying for attention and support. So I think a lot of people will pay attention to those, but there's a number of other good seats and interesting races, governor's race and other statewides like the AG and whatnot. So a lot of things happening tomorrow.
Where is this being held at and who gets to show up?
Yeah, so the convention is at the Salt Palace, and so we have a big chunk and a number of the halls of the Salt Palace that will be utilized for Republican delegates, and there are 4,030 potential delegates around the state of Utah, and you usually get a very good turnout. Of course, there's a handful that maybe don't show up, but I would anticipate 3,950 or so Utahns from all 29 counties are going to be there and participate in all of the various races and other business of the party throughout the day.
I always like to picture the day. You go into the Salt Palace. There are booths everywhere. It's a great place if you like cotton, if you like taffy. It's a really good place for taffy. There's cheap pens, which I'm a big fan of. So there's booth to booth to booth, and that's how you can go and talk to these different candidates and maybe some interest groups like education. But one thing I always find interesting, Rob, is that I think you all have given candidates 4 minutes apiece to make their final case. Is that true, 4 minutes? And what makes a terrific closing speech for a candidate?
Yep, you're exactly right. So they've been out on the stump speech around the state and around their district. So they've been engaging for months on end. But when the actual election starts, they have final speeches from the stage. And in that first round of voting, every candidate will be given that final 4-minute elevator speech. So a good speech, it really gets to the heart of, I think, two things: laying out why this person is qualified and capable of doing the job that they are seeking. But the other element that they really have to hit if they're wanting to get a home run there is they have to have an aspirational and inspirational vision, because that's going to be the piece that connects not just, okay, yeah, you could do the job, but are you the right person to be the standard bearer for the party and to represent the people of Utah should you be elected? You have to hit that note as well.
Robert Axum, thank you for joining us, Utah Republican Party Chair. Enjoy your 12 Red Bulls tomorrow. It's going to be a long day. Next, Diane Lewis, Utah Democratic Party Chair. Diane, thank you for joining us. When do you guys start tomorrow? Where are you at?
Well, we are starting at 8 o'clock. Doors were open at Cottonwood High School at 8 o'clock. Registration will start then. Then we have a couple of our issue and identity caucus meetings at 8:45. And then we have a couple things, National Committee Men and Women, and then we also have national delegates for our national convention. And those are going to have some speeches, during that morning session. Then at 11 o'clock, what we will do is we will actually go onto the floor and we will open the entire session for the day. And we should be, we don't have as many contested races as the GOP does, but we do have some great races that are coming up and we have some amazing candidates.
So the Democrats this year had a really nice, healthy caucus turnout. How do you get energy and momentum? What kind of issues and how are the Democrats going to come out with momentum? Because one thing we keep hearing about the election in November is that who will capture the energy and the excitement of the time. So what do you guys talk about to get the Democrats excited about this election?
I think the way we started getting, and as the chair, when I ran for chair, I wanted to do the entire state. As we all know, Salt Lake is pretty purple, and we have most of our legislators in Salt Lake. The only legislator that is out of Salt Lake County is Rosemary Lesser up in Weber County. But what we have been doing as a state party is going out and speaking to all these county chairs, and these county chairs have just really worked hard to get the word out about Democrats and how important we are, because as you know, the Democratic Party is the party of the people, and that's what we've got to do. It's showing up. And so we've been showing up in these counties. The counties have worked hard and to build them. And yes, we had amazing turnout for not only caucus night, but for also conventions, county conventions.
Diane,
so we're pretty sure that, yeah.
That's fantastic. We're excited for you. You're going to be starting early, 8 o'clock, Cottonwood High School. Yeah. Best of luck. It's going to be a long day, but we're excited for you. Best of luck to the Republicans and the Democrats tomorrow as they have their party conventions.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
I'm Jeff Kaplan from KSL News Radio. You want to receive the latest news, traffic, and weather all in one place? All you have to do is subscribe to the KSL text line. Text the word NEWS to 57500 and you'll get the latest news, traffic, and weather updates. Sometimes before we get them on the air. I'll catch you on the radio weekday afternoons on KSL News Radio.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
New year, new KSL movie show. Now you can listen when you're running errands at lunch. This is Andy Farnsworth, and I'm joined by Steve Sales for all the week's biggest movies and shows, 11 to 1, on KSL News Radio.
It's finally Friday, and this is Dave and Dejanovic. Conversation and insights on the stories Utahns care about most. It's Friday on KSL News Radio. Forgiving college debt. Special coverage with Dave and Dejanovic.
So it's an election year, and what I've learned, whether it's Democrat or Republican, they're going to try to buy your vote on some level. because as soon as they start dangling a tax credit, tax cut, stimulus check, all of a sudden, we the voter, we start to salivate.
That's right.
We start drooling. It's Pavlovian.
Yeah. Yeah, so is it really buying your vote, Dave, or is it giving you what you want? I mean, that's the thing. With the 100%, Biden is bringing up student loan forgiveness because a couple of his pollsters have showed him that it's performing well for people under 30. But it is also interesting because it's what we want. We want to talk about these hot flare issues. But back to student loan, I am so mixed on this because for me, it's a re-round of a bunch of things that I'm frustrated with. We're frustrated with our healthcare system. So we just do some weird patches that make it more complicated. That feels like the approach to student loan. I do think there's a fundamental problem with having all this debt. I think there's a problem with access to education. But this just feels like we're actually making it almost worse, not better.
$1.6 trillion in student loan debt.
Yeah.
In America, $1.6 trillion. Now, we've lost complete and total understanding of what numbers mean.
Right.
Like, you can say $1 trillion is a one with 12 zeros, and it means nothing to us.
Yeah.
Like, you would have to actually look at $1 million, a stack of $1 million next to $1 trillion, and realize, oh, okay. That makes sense.
That's a lot more.
It's an incomprehensible amount of money. 43 million Americans, too, are part of that $1.6 trillion in debt. So when President Biden had an original plan, this is the plan that got, I just want to remind everyone, this was the plan that got struck down by the Supreme Court.
Right.
He basically said everyone gets $10,000 to $20,000 just lopped off. That was the plan.
And there's still a question. He's pivoted. He's not stopping, even though the court said, you can't do this, buddy. There's still a question about whether he has a couple of plans, but whether any of them require congressional authority. I mean, there's still a big question in many, particularly conservatives' minds, about whether the executive branch does have the statutory authority to do this. But he's back at it again.
And people are wondering, why is this? Didn't the Supreme Court just strike this down? You tried to forgive about $500 billion worth, that's what the Congressional Budget Office estimated, somewhere around $500-600 billion. This is what it would cost. And the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do this through executive authority. This has to go through Congress. They have the purse strings. If they want to forgive this amount of money, Congress has got to pass something. So they struck it down. So how is he going about and continue kind of nibbling away, because he's up around $150 billion worth of student loans that he's forgiven through, how would you say, it's not executive decision, but it's kind of technically through the Department
through
of Education.
Yeah, so I mean, one is we're talking about it probably too singularly. A loan's not a loan's not a loan, right? There are several programs you could apply to. So I think something the Biden administration would be benefited by is actually being more specific, not just saying this general. I'm going to give you an example because this is a program I actually like that he's doing. It's called the Public Service Loan Forgiveness. So this is a program name. It started in 2007 but became active in 2017. So here's what's cool about it. If you've made 120 payments while you were in public service, so this is specifically for graduates who enter into public service, and you've made 120 payments or more,
10 years worth, okay.
You might be have your balance forgiven. And what the problem with this program was poor management. So what the Biden administration needed to do was up the management of it, not change the program at all. This program was passed in 2007. So for me, that's about government efficiency. And I feel like if I knew and I trusted that the administration was actually just making the programs work, I think most of us would be like, oh, okay, if you're just making the program work, that would be great. But when you listen to the administration, where I'm going to criticize them, is it sounds like Uncle Joe has some money bags and he's just one for you. And then where we're all worried about the fairness is, wait a minute, Dave, why did you get that? I was standing right next to you and I didn't get it. So it just seems like it feels a little arbitrary. I don't think that's how they're going about it, but that's certainly how it's being communicated.
My biggest frustration with student loan forgiveness is it doesn't address any of the core problems. Number one, how we got here, and what are we going to do in the future? All of the loans we're talking about are loans that you and I took. You know, it's our generation, or at
that's
least,
right.
You know, the last, you know, several years. This is not addressing your kid that's in college, my kid that's in college. It doesn't address 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
So it's almost like paying off a portion of the credit card debt.
Yeah.
But not cutting up the credit card at all.
No, it's not solving the problem. I mean, I think what we're frustrated with is lending money. If we want to make college cheaper, loans are not the way to do it, right? So you're right. We're propping up the broken system instead of taking away the broken system. We're not helping kids who are in school now, and it's not at the general issue of college affordability. I think a lot of times we do like the issues of should we make it more flexible? Should we make it based on what kind of work you go into? But you're right. None of that goes to the problem of, you know, who is really hurt most by this are kids who don't make it to the degree stage. They go to 2, 3 years. They rack up debt. They don't get the benefit of the degree, and they have the burden of the debt. So it's about affordability, and you're right. I think we're putting Band-Aids on things instead of fixing problems.
Freshmen are dropping out at a level of 30 to 40%.
Wow.
You spend 1 year. And in fact, I read this in the Deseret News. The Associated Press reported the tuition housing fees at elite universities will exceed $90,000 a year this fall.
That's amazing.
You could go as a freshman, drop out, and walk away with $90,000 worth of debt.
Yeah. I mean, what's also interesting in what we know, the top tier universities, almost all of them waive tuitions. It's the second and third tiers. It's the, I'm going to say the average kids, right? I mean, the achieving kids that are burdened with it. So, yeah.
There's this thought, and I want to take calls on this, and because student loan forgiveness is such a polarizing topic.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, for example, I'm like, you took on the loan, you pay it back no matter what. I just feel like that in general because I think that about your credit cards. I think that about your car payment. I think that about your mortgage. In no way do I ever want you to come to me and say, hey, I'm having a hard time paying off my mortgage. Can I get it federally forgiven? No, I think, okay. But at the same time, I totally acknowledge that it's outrageously expensive to go to school. Do you think this is if there's a downside for President Biden? Do you think the tides are turning? Are more people jumping onto Team Dave here where you say, no, this is not a political win, President Biden. Do not forgive student loans. What do you think? Do you think this student loan forgiveness is helping President Biden, or is it flipped and is now hurting him, all these promises? 801-575-TALK. That's the phone number. Give us a call. 801-575-TALK.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring. And right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Forgiving College Debt. Special coverage with Dave Dejanovic.
Higher education right now is costing our kids tens of thousands of dollars. And we haven't really even experienced college debt yet. Right? The college debt that is being forgiven right now, this is going back
years.
Years.
Like before you said, you and I. Yes. You and I. That's how old it is.
When you're looking at a lot of these programs that President Biden is forgiving, this is not the 19, 20, 21-year-old.
Right.
The 22-year-old that just graduated last year and has some debt. These are not the loans that are being forgiven. They are largely the loans that we accrued in our 30s. You know, the 30-year-olds or 40-year-olds that have some student loan debt that's still going on. This is the debt that was accrued when college costs were a third of what they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is $1.6 trillion.
But what they do represent, though, is how predatory in many ways the student loan program was 25 years ago, right? I mean, Dave, how could you? A lot of these debt holders have been really on top of paying their bills every single month. How could you be 15 years into this and still owe debt on, to your point, which wasn't affordable? So, I mean, shame on the United States for setting up the programs the way that they did. We should not, the government should not be making money on people who wanted to take a loan out to go to college. That's insane.
That's a mic drop. You're absolutely right. That cat is also out of the bag. Out of the bag,
yeah.
Toothpaste out of the tube. What's so the true metaphor that I want to use? Cody and Lehigh, do you think this is a winning argument still for President Biden? Do you think this is starting to hurt him? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's just as a way just to buy votes, honestly. It's just because he knows the younger demographic as a major issue. Because personally, for me, I'm in my final semester at college, and I don't agree with the whole student loan forgiveness, just dropping out. Just that's my opinion about that.
Thank you for calling. And we don't often get the person that's in their final semester, right?
Yeah, that's so nice that you gave us your opinion. And you're right. You're right in the middle of also paying for college.
And I think that's part of the frustration that I have right now is Cody is not being addressed. He's not being spoken to. It's like, hey, you know, at some point, if you pay down your student loans for 10 years and you work as a teacher, then possibly we may forgive a portion of these loans. It's so highly complicated. There are so many different programs out there of how you can get your student loan forgiven. You can't keep track of it. No one knows whether or not you have to pay for it, whether or not you'll be, it's like playing the lottery.
Well, and I would contend it is actually easier to get a PhD than read most government forms, right? I'm like, I would rather put together something from IKEA than figure out how to apply for loan programs, which I have done with my kids, right? It's a complicated system. You never know what you're doing. And yeah, I mean, why are we making it so hard once again?
When IKEA furniture is the less frustrating of the two,
I think it's a broken system.
It is a broken system. Karen in Farmington, what do you think?
I think forgiving loans is totally wrong. I just finished paying off $50,000. And when I did that, it was on my master's. I've been teaching for 15 years. And I don't feel like anybody that prioritizes what they're doing would not want to pay that off.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Karen, for your call. Steve in Orem, what do you think, Steve?
Yes, before I answer, has there been any student loan forgiveness yet? I thought that hasn't happened.
No, there has. In the way they've been able to do it, there's the SAVE plan that you can research and read up on. It's being done administratively.
The Biden administration is going to tell you that as of April 12th, $153 billion of loan in the United States has been forgiven. But as Dave says, it's been taking current existing programs and using some administrative. But you're absolutely right the big wholesale thing that Biden wanted to do is off the table via the courts.
Okay, I have two children still that have government loans. And when this first came out, I think this was COVID, but they stopped having to pay interest rates. And I told both of them, I said, even though I don't agree with it, I think the schools themselves should be with their endowments involved with this, because it's a mess as far as endowments are concerned. But I told them to not pay it, because if they're not charging interest, that's just free loan. But then I have other children that paid off their loans. So what about them? Or what about truck drivers or technical people? I mean, it's just a disaster. And I think it's going to hurt him in the long run.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for the call. Let's jump out to Dale in South Salt Lake. What do you think, Dale?
Well, I served in the military, and I think a good way to get college loans paid off is give them a choice of pay off the loan or join the military.
I love the either or. We're having a hard time with military recruitment. Like, hey, if you can't pay it off, we can put you through boot camp.
Yeah, that'd work for me.
The modified GI Bill. I love it. Thanks. All right, I appreciate thanks. It, Dale. I think they're the people that are affected, even though 43 million Americans carry $1.6 trillion in debts. So
right.
Just about everybody knows somebody or yeah. Is that somebody that is carrying debt. I think it's increasingly becoming unpopular. It's not necessarily winning opinion, in part because I think the I don't know is extremely frustrating. I don't know what to prepare for. I don't know what to plan for. I mean, my goodness, you had a dad, Steve, that told his kids, when there's no interest accruing, to stop paying on those loans.
So I'm going to go back to a political axiom, which is most political problems are problems of communications. So I think in some ways that's what you're saying. I'm going to disagree that it's going to hurt Biden, because I think that's a very red state point of view. I think it'll hurt Biden in Utah, and here's the headline, Biden isn't winning Utah. So I do think it's a critical issue in swing states. In purple states, I think because of just this conversation we've been having, it's a half a dozen and six. The other thing that's interesting is, as with all of us, if your kid or you are benefiting, you maybe are a little more, even maybe if you're philosophically opposed, but you're like, well, I'm sure going to take it if I can get it. So I think it's complicated and will actually help him in the margins on swing states.
And ultimately, that's all that matters.
That's what we're watching, right? I mean, most of 80% of the election is a foregone conclusion. We're waiting around for the 20%.
That doesn't paint a very happy picture, Mara. You just took me down a road. I'm not very happy about that. We're going so well, and now you brought your dark cloud.
That's so true.
The sun's trying to peek through these clouds.
I rained on you.
You rained on my parade. Okay, let's talk about the arrests that are happening on college campuses. Protests over the Israel and Hamas war. USC. University of Southern California just announced they will no longer be hosting their traditional graduation ceremony next month. Next month, because of safety concerns. We'll get the latest update from News Nation next.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring. And right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
You wouldn't know this by living in Utah, but all across the country, there are protests happening on college campuses. Again, they are not happening here.
Yes.
In Utah.
No, they're not. Well, we've had a couple of gatherings at the Capitol, but they've been pretty docile. They've been very appropriate. Yeah. But man, across the nation, they're crazy. It's interesting that we have a difference here, though. You know, it's an interesting byproduct, I think, of our culture and where it's appropriate to have these discussions.
I want to examine that a little bit more of why in the world we're not seeing this level of protesting in Utah like we're seeing across the country. At Ohio State University, there was a lot of shouting between protesters. Police are in riot gear. Crowds shouting, officers dragging away protesters. Right now, Caitlin Becker is at Columbia University where protesting is happening from the students about the Israel-Hamas war, the war in Gaza. Caitlin, thank you for joining us. What are you seeing so far at Columbia?
Well, today we actually started off the day with kind of a counter-protest right on campus, and it sort of spilled out outside of it. Pro-Israel group was specifically protesting the 133 Jewish hostages being held by Hamas. That happened earlier today. There was a bit of a tense clash outside of campus on the sidewalk between just kind of a random protester and two students kind of from either side. They were pretty peaceful talking to each other. And this one older gentleman, maybe in his 60s, was just shouting obscenities at the pro-Palestine student protester. So it actually really served as a good example of sort of a microcosm of how this is all going down, that it's usually one or two sort of extreme protesters disrupting what would otherwise be kind of a healthy discourse. Meanwhile, on campus, that encampment of pro-Palestine protesters is still there on the west lawn. They're set up in tents. As you said, there's these kind of protests going at universities all over the country, but this is really where it started. This is the heart of it. It's been disbanded on campus once or twice, and apparently there was a deadline last night at midnight to disband once again, but that was extended. The university officials announced this morning that they were making progress between the student-led organizers and the university.
Of the protests that you've been following, are you seeing any that are trying to disrupt university events, or are they wanting to just gather and have their voices heard?
It's a little bit of a mix. I mean, here on Columbia's campus, it's this encampment that seemed to be the biggest issue for the university, the students camping out and really refusing to leave. But regardless of what the intentions are, I think we are, of course, seeing that university events are disrupted. I mean, USC has just canceled their main graduation ceremony because protesters and police were clashing on campus. So you're definitely seeing these things. Speakers are being, you know, canceled, but from the protesters' perspective, on the whole, it really just seems like they want their voices to be heard and they want their demands met. Particularly here at Columbia, they want divestiture. They want the university to divest from Israeli universities and from kind of what they say profiting off of this war and profiting off of genocide.
Caitlin Becker from News Nation, thank you for joining us live from Columbia University as we have seen student protests across the country. But again, we're not seeing these widespread protests here in Utah, Mara. Mm-hmm. And you came across an Axios article that asked an interesting question of why, and kind of a hypothesis of why Utah is not seeing these widespread protests.
Yeah, here's some interesting starting positions from this article. One is it points out what we all know, which is Utah has one of the youngest populations in any state. And by and large, these protests are happening with young people. Yes. So it sort of starts out the article supposing like, okay, we got a young state, so we should see a bunch of these protests. It also gives a really interesting statistic that the University of Utah was noted to be one of the least civically active universities campuses. You know, this is a ranking. I don't want to overstate it, but it was also another indicator of campuses they looked at that we weren't civically engaged. Now, it was in social disobedience. So they're also speaking to protesting and asking the question, why? So they looked, and what we've noticed is if we hold a protest, it is most often not on the quad, not in the middle of the campus. It's most often at the Capitol. So I think some of the rationale is the private schools like BYU have actually implemented pretty strict rules about those gatherings. But like you look at our public schools and they're more akin to these, you know, the Ohio states of the world. So why are we being stopped from our protests? And they're talking about culture. We're a culture that values authority. I mean, we appreciate it. We respect it. We are taught to respect authority. And then, Dave, I'd love your response to this, because the one thing that caught me the most is that in this study, they said that places like Utah saw civil disobedience as almost criminal behavior, where other places saw it as just like speaking their truth. They didn't think they were being criminal. They just thought that they were giving their opinion, where a lot of Utahns said it was criminal behavior. How does that land with you?
I think we actually saw this up at the University of Utah. There was protests. They were having a premiere or a film event that dealt with transgenderism. And this film was going to be shown, and there was a protest. And those protesters were stopping the film from being shown. They had gone in, the chanting, they had disrupted it, and they got arrested and they got charged. Mm-hmm. So you're absolutely right. That has not only been the threat, but we've seen that happen on Utah campuses. Now, the question of why is that happening? Why do we feel that way? Do we just automatically think, well, the leaders know best?
Yeah.
Or I'm afraid of the consequences. I think there's a big consequence thing. If we truly believe that if I'm going to be arrested and that's going to be on my record and that's going to follow me and that's going to affect me negatively, I think that plays into it heavily.
Yeah.
It's a risk-reward situation.
And I think we really value being appropriate in public here, which I'm not. That's a great thing about us.
Yeah.
We value being polite to each other. We value being seen as good citizens from an external point of view, right?
Yeah.
But here's the downside of it. Are we having tough conversations in this avoidance of what we see as disagreement? I mean, I have found in my day job, as someone who tends to be very direct, I've had to dial back my directness, right? Because it's often seen as aggressive. And I'm like, oh, I didn't mean to be aggressive. I was being direct. I didn't mean to be aggressive. I think there's a little element to that when you look at a public setting about, you know, I may share that point of view, but it's too aggressive to go out there and protest.
And I have absolutely no problem, you know, shouting from the rooftops. Where I think it crosses the line is if all of a sudden you're in my face, you're preventing me from walking from point A to B, you shut down a street that I need to get through.
Sure.
And that's where I think some communities, some cultures in the country have more tolerance for that. And that is something we do not have. If you stay on the sidewalk and you let me just walk past you and ignore you, then it's all good. As soon as you start restricting my freedom to move, my freedom to listen to the speakers that I want to, that's where I think it crosses the
line. Does it matter how long it is? Like if I disrupt your commute for 2 minutes, is that okay with you? If I disrupt your commute for 2 hours, I agree with you. I think I'm pretty tolerant. If you're moving through the intersection and so I miss a light, I'm going to say, go Americans, go protestation. If I'm being honest, if it's 2 hours, I'm yelling and screaming in my car.
That is I hadn't thought about that. Like, what's the level
how
of inconvenience?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on how inconvenient it is, as how willing I'm willing to let you protest. But News Nation, thank you for joining us, giving us an update from Columbia University. When we come back, it's never a love square. It's never even a love pentagon. It's always a love triangle. And today's movie show is talking about love, love triangles in films. I'll tell you my favorite one. I always try to find the deep cut favorite love triangle. And no, Titanic is not a love triangle, folks.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dujanovic. The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences.
Andy and Steve joining us right now, getting ready to take over the KSL airwaves for the movie show. So excited. Okay, this big movie, the movie of the week is Challengers.
What are you going to do now?
Unfortunately, my only skill in life is hitting a ball with a racket.
I want you to be my coach.
How often does this happen? Going after the same girl?
All right. If you noticed, did you recognize the voice?
Zendaya.
She's all over the place. She's in everything. She's so hot right now.
She is.
Steve, Andy, Challengers. This is the big movie of the week?
Yes, and it is challenging. Well, it was challenging for me, and I'll tell you more about it in the movie show. Just, what do you do when you're not when you don't like any of the characters?
Mm. Okay.
Not the acting, not the thing, but what if don't like any of the people in the movie, and so then you're just like, I don't care what happens to you.
Well, that makes 2 hours and 15 minutes a little longer, doesn't it?
It sure does. But it got us thinking, Dave, is what are some great movie love triangles? Because, like you said before the break, you can't have a love square. Where's the drama in that?
Yeah, if I knew we were going to do geometry this
morning. If you go any more than a square, then it gets into a whole different equation that becomes problematic. But when you got three people and only two of them can get together, somebody's going to get left out.
Oh.
Okay, so I'm going to throw a few out there. I'm going to give you a few examples, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Can I put some parameters on this when we're talking about love triangles?
It's your show, Dave, so absolutely.
You got 6 minutes.
I have some very strong feelings about romance, rom-coms, love triangles. Number one, we have to have some rules. Can I put some rules in place?
Give us some rules.
Okay, and I wrote this before I even heard you talk about how much you hated those characters. But okay. I think the key to a love triangle is you have to love all the characters.
Yeah.
Like, you can't cheat by liking two of the characters and the third one's the villain. It's why...
No, you can. That's why they call it shipping, Dave. Do you not know the term shipping?
No, Andy, you can't... Like, Titanic is not a love triangle. Rose and Jack were meant, everyone knows. Like, Billy Zane does not play into this on any level. You have to like all three and then genuinely have to choose one of the better ones.
Well, but that's the other thing too. So this is the fine line that directors, I believe, and the writers have to walk, because you can't make the third character who's not going to end up, because it's either two guys and a girl or two girls and a guy. So somebody's going to be the odd person out. So you have to decide. I think it's easier and cheaper if you do the Billy Zane thing where you just make him so unlikable that you're like, I don't care what happens to you as long as you don't end up with him. It's when you have to be careful to not make the third person so likable that the audience now actually is more worried about what happens to them than the two people who get together.
Yeah, I think that's true. And Billy Zane, weren't they engaged? I mean, come on.
Yeah, Dave, do you wish people that are engaged to break up?
If it's not right, it's not right, boys. If it's not
right, it's not right. The heart wants what the heart wants.
There it is.
Okay, the easy one, the first one my mind went to, this does not hit my criteria, but I'll play a little. You see if you can figure out who we're talking about.
Edward? If you ever touch her against her will again.
Don't do this.
She's not sure what she wants.
Don't do this.
Let me give you a clue. Wait for her to say the words.
Fine.
And she will.
Team Edward, Team Jacob.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Twilight.
I don't have a preference in that love triangle.
Well, if you kill Titanic and then you throw in Twilight, come on, man.
That's so good.
Texts are pouring in on the text line.
I don't like wolves. Oh.
You're not living with integrity, Dave.
If I thought that show was bad before, if I just listening to the audio, you're like, oh, that acting. There are some good actors there. They did not show it in that moment.
Waiting to use it later.
All right, so what's another one?
Okay.
Who were you, by the way? You were Team Edward, I assume?
Oh, Team Jacob. Edward was...
So you're cool with Jacob getting with Edward and Bella's daughter that somehow is weirdly grown
they
up
made
in
it
like
work.
2 weeks?
They made it work. No, the whole thing was awful. I didn't like... The thing I couldn't wrap my hand around is how anyone wanted Bella. Like, Edward was great and Jacob was great. Bella was the worst. No one's fighting over that woman.
I'm not going to be cool right now and just tell you all I haven't even seen them.
Stop it.
Mara.
I love it.
Listen, guilty pleasure for a reason. It's terrible. But, yeah, we read it.
So you like that one. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you led with that, so let's see what else you got.
Okay, how about this one?
And since when did you quit the tire factory? You're not doing anything illegal, are you, Jake?
Maybe I am. So what? I don't ask you about your boyfriend. You keep your nose out of my life. Deal?
Who told you?
That's Sweet Home Alabama, isn't it?
Oh, there we go. Talk slow, doesn't Andy.
By the way, just this week, Reese Witherspoon had to point out that she, or Matthew McConaughey had to tell people, that's not me in that movie. It's Josh Charles.
He had to remind.
Because people are like, I loved you in Sweet Home Alabama. He's like, I wasn't in it.
That's not me.
He's just say thank you and move on.
This was one of my favorites because I like both. I like Patrick Dempsey and I like Matthew McConaughey.
I agree.
Dave, I'm looking at the text line right now. Somebody already texted in Sweet Home Alabama was one of the best because both guys were decent. And did you text your own show, Dave?
No. Good for me, though. Good for me to win that. Okay, here's it. I like to give you guys a deep cut. Tell me if you know this one.
I really like this girl. I really like her, too. No, I really.
This means
really
war.
Like her.
Whoa. Are you serious?
I love this one.
I love my this gosh. One.
When they go to the paintball course with Tom Hardy and Reese Witherspoon, I was crying laughing so hard.
That is
That's
one
a
of
great
my
one.
Favorite ones. I love that. Okay, we have 30 seconds, but I have to get in. I think this is the best love triangle.
I've loved you for 9 years. I've just been too arrogant and scared to realize it. And, well, now I'm just scared, so...
My best friend's wedding.
I love this one.
Well done. Yeah, this is a good one.
You've seen this one, Mara?
I have. Okay. I can come through for you here.
The Notebook. What do you say about no? 10 seconds, guys. What's your best?
Spider-Man, number one.
Love triangle.
Peter, MJ, and Harry.
Gone with the Wind.
Steve wins.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Steve, well done. Nice job. Thanks, boys. Hey, look forward to the movie show coming up right now. Challengers.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.